Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, Text Number 32. Tasyaivam kilam atmanam manyamanasya kinyataha krishnasya narado bhagavad Ashramam pragutaritam tasyaivam kilam atmanam manyamanasya kinyata krishnasya narado bhyagyat Ashramam pragutaritam. Someone else, please. Tasyaiva ilam atmanam. Ladies, please. No? Okay. Tasya his evam thus kilam inferior atmanam soul manyamanasa thinking within the mind. Kidyata, regretting. Krishnasya, of Krishna Vaipanayana. Vyas. Narada Abhyagat. Narada came there. Ashramam, the cottage. Prak, before. Udaritam, said. Translation. As mentioned before, Narada reached the cottage of Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas on the banks of the Sarasvati, just as Vyas, Sadev, was regretting his defects. Purport, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The vacuum felt by Vyasadeva was not due to his lack of knowledge. Bhagavad Dharma is purely devotional service of the Lord to which the monist has no access. The monist is not counted amongst the Paramahamsas, the most perfect of renounced order of life. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations of the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. Although Vyasadeva was an empowered divinity, he still felt dissatisfaction because in none of his works were the transcendental activities of the Lord properly explained. The inspiration was infused by Sri Krishna directly in the heart of Vyasadeva, and thus he felt the vacuum as explained above. It is definitely expressed herewith that without the transcendental loving service of the Lord, everything is void. But in the transcendental service of the Lord, everything is tangible without any separate attempt at fruit of work or empiric philosophical speculation. Om Agana Tamanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umalitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So a verse that comes to mind in from Bhagavad Gita as the example is so nicely shown by so many advanced devotees. It started with Srila Prabhupada and his approaching his spiritual master Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and inquiring from him and taking instruction from him. So here Srila Vyasadeva's spiritual master Narada Muni, we see that Srila Vyasadeva is getting instruction from Narada Muni. And this is what we do. We take instruction from those senior Vaishnavas. We take instruction from the spiritual masters. We take instruction from our spiritual master. So this verse in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, entitled Transcendental Knowledge, Tadvidi Paripatena Pariprashnena Seveya Upadekshanti Te Ganam Ganinas Tatvadarshinaha. In this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, Krishna is giving Arjuna instructions on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Imagine, it was only 5,000 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. Krishna was actually here discussing this Bhagavad Gita with Arjuna. And this is a great example for all of us to take. As I heard one very nice devotee say, this is like the ultimate counseling session. So, all the Srila Prabhupada said, all the instructions are in my books. Everything that we need to know is in Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada knew what we needed. I was thinking this morning as I was going over some of the readings for this morning's class, questions pop into my mind. How many times has it happened where you're reading something, you have a question, and then all of a sudden, in the next sentence or two, Srila Prabhupada answers that question. I think we've all experienced that before. I was looking for one answer, and I opened up to the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it was a couple of verses prior to what this verse here that we're reading today. And there was the answer in the purport. Hare Krishna. You okay, Prabhu? So, this verse, just try to learn the truth. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So in that verse, there's some very key words. Pariprashnena, by submissive inquiries. And also, very, very important word, sevaya. So that's by rendering of service. So seva is extremely, extremely important. We cannot understand Krishna just by our blunt material senses or even by just reading the scriptures. But it's our duty to glorify the Lord. It's our duty to do devotional service. And we glorify the Lord by performing devotional service. We're glorifying the spiritual master by coming to the morning program and chanting. We are glorifying Krishna by chanting his holy name in front of him. Book distribution. We're glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're glorifying Srila Prabhupada. So we know the distribution of his books is very important. And Srila Prabhupada was extremely pleased when he saw the devotees were out distributing his books. Srila Prabhupada spent countless hours translating these books into English so we can be here. And the least we can do is we can give it to others. And we see that when we do give Krishna consciousness to others, how do we feel? As I'm looking right here in the first row, second row, third row, actually, all of you. But I'm looking at all of you and I see all these wonderful Sankirtan devotees. Whether you do it full time or not, that's okay. But we all have this feeling when we're out and we're distributing books, when we're giving the holy name, we feel ecstatic. We feel a bliss. We feel something for which we're always anxious for. Everything is revolving, as we can see. Everything revolves around the deities and preaching and giving Krishna consciousness to others. We see the deities in the morning, how ecstatic they look. The colors, the blue colors, the pink. Srila Prabhupada dressed so nicely. It's really ecstatic because think about the love and the devotion that went into all of this to make this happen. And the devotees sacrificing so much of their time and their energy to glorify Krishna. so that when we come to the morning program, we're dancing before their lordships ecstatically. We're chanting before the deities ecstatically. We're chanting for their pleasure. We're chanting for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. And how do we all feel? We all feel happy. We all feel ecstatic. As I like to sometimes say, think about when you first woke up this morning. It was cold. You didn't maybe necessarily jump up and run in and get ready. It takes a little time. But see how you feel now. Judge the difference. So this is what we have to look forward to every day. And imagine, by performing this sacrifice, because that's what life is for, it's for sacrifice. And in this age of Kali Yuga, sacrifice is, this Yuga Dharma is the chanting of the holy name. So it's very important that Srila Prabhupada said to pay attention even to the little things. Even to the very little things. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. Yes, there's challenges. There are definitely challenges. But we have such wonderful associations to take shelter of here. One stick breaks very easily. But many sticks together is much more difficult to break. I just read yesterday what Srila Prabhupada said. This was a letter, early 70s, I forget the exact date, I could research it, but it was to Himavati, Mataji, back in the early 70s. And Srila Prabhupada, and this is kind of paraphrasing what Srila Prabhupada said, but if we simply chant 16 rounds every day, then Maya can't enter. And of course, the 10 offenses. So we have to be very careful not to commit offenses while chanting the holy name. So if there's challenges, bring it back to the beginning of the very basic rudiments of Krishna consciousness, and that's chanting. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of the siblic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following his principle of the siblic, this principle of the siblic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and the person, and a person in the siblic succession, can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. So, devotional service. So, in chapter 18, which is the conclusion, the perfection of renunciation, verse 55, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavan yas chasmi tatvataha tata to Tatomam tabato tabato gyatva vishite tad anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation, nor by the non-devotees. If anyone wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take to pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee. Otherwise, the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will always be hidden. As it is already stated, Naham Prakash Kasya, that he is not revealed to everyone. Everyone cannot understand God simply by erudite scholarship or mental speculation. Only one who is actually engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service can understand what Krishna is. University degrees are not helpful. So again, devotional service. So coming to the morning program, associating with devotees, dancing and kirtan ecstatically. Srila Prabhupada would say, chanting, dancing, and feasting. What is the difficulty? This is what we do. And then somehow, we all have a little part to play in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, in preaching Krishna consciousness. Then we will become totally ecstatic. Totally ecstatic. So on that note, because this month of December is a special month, because we're it's the month of the marathon, where devotees typically are out distributing more of Srila Prabhupada's books, giving the mercy. So this is, we're giving presents to people. Not our own presents, but we're giving presents to people. And as we can see, more and more books are going out this year, as Brigupati Prabhu had read this morning, and then confirmed that with Savas Prabhu. We're doubling our numbers. I remember seeing Vaishasika Prabhu had a little badge once, or a little button, increased, I believe it was, what, 10%? So here we're trying to double. So maybe next year we can get that up and it'll say 50%. But everyone here, we all have a responsibility, not only in distributing books, but in our actions, how we appear to people. Because people watch, people see, especially if we're in Dodi and Korta. We have to be very careful because people are seeing, oh, here's a devotee, here's a spiritual person. So they watch how we act. And when we're doing book distribution, we only get one time to make a first impression. So make it good and connect with that person. Then they'll be more out to want to take a book from you if you can become their friend, if you can connect with them, and if they like you. So I am going to speak a little bit, just read a little bit about Jiva Goswami and also Jagadish Pandit, because today are their disappearance days. I'm going to read something. So I'm going to do that first. And then I would like to take a moment for some of the Sankirtan devotees have so kindly agreed to tell some ecstatic Sankirtan stories and some realizations from being out distributing books. So if we can get that microphone ready, please. I know the batteries are all charged up and ready to go. So while I'm just reading, if someone can get the microphone. So here's a couple of paragraphs about Srila Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami was the youngest, and this is coming from the ISKCON Desire Tree. So I'm reading it from my phone, but it's coming from a bona fide source. Sri Jiva Goswami was the youngest but most prolific writer among the Goswamis. He wrote an astounding 500,000 Sanskrit verses, about 25 books. His books prove that Sri Chaitanya's philosophy gives the essence of Vedic wisdom and the perfection of religion. The following quote comes from Sri Jiva Goswami's nectarian Gopal Champu, which describes the playful Vrindavan pastimes of Radha Damodar. So here's the quote. From Govardhan Hill, a large form of Govardhan manifested. All the Rajavasis, along with Krishna himself, then offered obeisances to that towering form. As Sri Krishna stood by with folded hands, that great personality, Govardhan, bellowed, "I shall eat all your offerings." He ate and drank water by emptying all the kundas around the hill. While eating all the preparations made by the Rajavasis with his right hand, he snapped his fingers on his left hand. The cowherd men ran out of the way when Govardhan stretched out his hands to take more and called out, "Aniyor, Aniyor, Aniyor, bring more, bring more, bring more." At the request of Acharya Rani, Janava Devi Takarani, Sri Jiva Goswami had Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shamananda Prabhu take the Goswami's writings from Vrindavan to Bengal. They translated them into Bengali and distributed them throughout Bengal and Orissa. They also preached extensively and initiated hundreds of devotees. In 1542, Sri Jiva Goswami established the worship Sri Sri Radha Damodar in Seva Kunj, Vrindavan. His samadhi stands in the temple compound. Sri Jiva Goswami is Vilas Manjari in Radha Damodar's Nitya Vrinda Vana Leela. Sri Jiva Goswami Ki Jai. Okay. And just read something short about Jagadish Pandit. It's also coming from the ISKCON Desire Tree. Jagadish Pandit is considered... Can you bring the microphone forward, please? Jagadish Pandit is considered to be simultaneously Lord Nityananda Shakya and Chaitanya Shakya, a branch both of Chaitanya as well as Nityananda in the Desire Tree of devotion. He was born in the town of Gohati. And then in parentheses it says, Pragiyo Tishpur, in modern Assam. His father's name was Kamalaksha Bhatta. Both his parents were devotees of Vishnu. When they died, he came with his wife, Tukini, and his brother, Hiranya, to Mayapur on the shores of the Ganga, where they built a home near that of Jagannath Mishra. Jagadish Pandit became Jagannath Mishra's very close friend. So I'll just read one more paragraph about Jagadish Pandit. Jagadish and his wife, Tukini, had the same kind of parental affection for the little Nimai as Jagannath and Sachi themselves. Tukini was like a mother to Nimai, and even sometimes acted as his wet nurse. Nimai, the son of Sachi, is none other than the son of Yashoda, the Supreme Lord incarnate. It is not possible for anyone but an eternal associate of the Lord to have his good fortune, to treat him like a son in this way. Jagadish Pandit Ki Jai.
Okay, so. Hare Krishna. As they say, possession is 9/10 of the law. So since I have the mic, I'm going to say something real short. You mentioned in your class that you have one chance to make a first impression, but sometimes it takes more attempts to distribute the book. I was reminding Bhagapati Prabhu just a few days ago. We were in the airport, LAX, when we were able to do it. We were doing the marathon. And O.J. Simpson came through. His children were young at that time, daughter and son. Yeah. And so Bhagapati stopped him, and he said, no, he made some excuse, and he went off. The daughter, I guess, was going somewhere, because within half an hour, he came back in the other direction with the son. And Brigo again stopped him. And he was trying to brush us off, but the son said no, he wanted the book. So OJ took the Bhagavad Gita and gave $5, and he said, I can't believe I'm giving $5. He was such a cheapskate. He said, I can't believe I'm giving $5. So he took two attempts to distribute a book to OJ Simpson. And I firmly believe that because of that is why he's still alive. He's not dead.
Okay. You got me on that point there. Okay, so if we can just have the microphone up front here, and just we have about 10 minutes. So whoever would like to start.
Nice class, Prabhu.
And speak into the microphone so everyone on the internet can hear as well.
Nice class, Prabhu.
Thank you very much.
You asked me to speak on a Sankirtan story, so I'll share one that happened last week with me and Ananda Kirtan Prabhu in downtown San Francisco. We were in downtown San Francisco, and it was kind of an interesting day. We saw a lot of really far-out things. I'm not going to repeat some of the things in front of the deities, but it was just a really far-out day, but we finally found a street corner where we just stayed on. And we were distributing books, and this boy about my age comes up to us, and he looks like he's had a hard time. He might be addicted to drugs. And he gets a Bhagavad Gita, and he says, what is this book? And, we kind of explain it very lightly. And then out of nowhere, coming from the opposite side of the street, comes a man. He's Hispanic, and he comes up to us, and then all of a sudden, he just becomes ecstatic. He's like, it's you guys, it's you guys, it's you guys. And his eyes are huge, and he comes up to Ananda Kirtan. And I thought he actually knew Ananda Kirtan, the way he was interacting with him, and he hugs Ananda Kirtan. And he's just ecstatic to see us. And I noticed that he's wearing Kunti Mala. And I was like, oh, this is a devotee. And he points at the Bhagavad Gita and he says, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he saved my life. He got me off drugs. And he looks at the boy who's holding the Bhagavad Gita and he says, look at me and listen. I see you and me. And this book will save your life. It got me off drugs. Take this book very seriously. And the boy kind of grabs the book to his chest and he starts crying. And he says, that's exactly why I stopped. and they embrace and they walk away, and we talk to this Hispanic man. And he goes on to explain that he got a Prabhupada book a few years ago, and now he worships Srila Prabhupada and Krishna at his home. And he chants Hare Krishna, and he's following the four regular principles. And what I realized was that this boy, you know, he needed an instrument. He needed someone. He needed someone to show him the significance of the book. And it may not have been Ananda Kirtan and I in that exact moment, but Krishna created an arrangement with someone who's trying to surrender the process. So what I realize is, no matter how much association we have or how little we're practicing devotional service, if we're trying to follow the four regular principles, if we're trying to follow the teachings of Srila Prabhupada's books, and if we're trying to chant Hare Krishna, then Krishna will make us an instrument and make an instrument for mercy. So that's my little anecdote.
Jai. Jai. Nandakirtan. Okay, Prabhu.
Thank you for the class. I don't really have like any ecstatic Sankirtan stories like, you know, the senior devotees like Archita just told about, like Bhrigu and probably Sarvas. And I travel with Parameshwara. He usually comes and tells some pretty far out stories when we're on warp tour, like how he was trying to distribute a book to some crowd, and it was some people on top of a van, maybe like 50 yards away, screaming in the microphone or some type of blowhorn, "Don't take the books, they don't give a book for free." And he was like, "You want a book?" And he just threw the book, and it went like, you know, all the way to the top of the van, and he caught it, and the guy was just quiet, and he was able to, you know, distribute books. So I don't have any far-out Sankirtan stories like that, but I can tell you that that's a pretty far story. You know, that you can't judge a book by its cover. So I got like three, you know, short stories I tell about that. Like, we were just at this festival in Arizona, and it was a lot of older people at first, and, you know, none of the devotees wanted to stop the older people. So I was like, well, why not? So I was thinking, like, let me stop this old lady. And I stopped her, and the first thing she said was like, "Hare Krishna, Hare Bo." You know, so it's like, you know, who would ever thought that? She was very favorable to the devotees. And then the next person, not the next person, but sometime later, I stopped this one Christian lady. And Kalki Prabhu, he witnessed it. I stopped her, and I was, you know, trying to give her the book. And she was like, I'm a Christian. Then I was like, okay, no problem. My father's Catholic. My mom's side is Baptist. So no problem. These books aren't to convert you. But she was like, I want to convert you. And I was like, okay. I was like, but I'm not trying to convert you. I'm still trying to go. And she said, no, but do you know who Jesus Christ is? And I was like, well, yeah, he's the Son of God. And then she was like, well, do you believe he died and all this stuff? And I was just like, well, okay, maybe you want to take a book. Can you leave a donation? She was like, yeah, and gave me $20. So I was just like, what? And Kaki saw the whole thing. I was just like, that's crazy. I wasn't thinking she was going to take a book. And then another, at a school one time, I used to have problems with the brothers. Brothers don't usually like to give too much money, like he was just explaining, like, OJ didn't want to give $5. And but anyway, I stopped this brother. I can say that because I'm a brother. So I stopped him, and I tried to give him the book. He wouldn't even touch it. So I got a rule, really, if someone doesn't touch the book, don't even grab it. You're not going to get the sale. It's better just kind of just leave. But anyway, I stood for a minute. I talked to him, and then I asked him for a donation. Then he pulled out this wad of money, and he ate 20s and just gave me. He didn't even want a book, but he was just wanted to be, like, very pious. He wanted to be very charitable, like Karna. So I just, you know, ever since then I started thinking different about the brothers. That was the biggest donation I got. So yeah, okay. Those are my Sankirtan stories.
Let alone Kirtans. We have about 4 more minutes. Go ahead, Prabhu, please.
Okay.
Tell us a story.
Yeah, I have a lot of them, but mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell one in particular. One time we were at, one time we were at a festival. I think it was Symbiosis Music Festival. And for some reason, I was just having some, you know, false ego trip. I was just at the beginning of the festival. It's huge. There's like maybe 50,000 people there.
And before I was approaching the tents, for some reason I was feeling a little bit nervous. So this is actually a couple years ago. I called Brigapati Prabhu just to get some inspiration. And I asked him, can you give me a 30-second prep talk? And he read something from the Bhagavad Gita. I forget which verse, but he was talking to me. And after the call, I was still a little bit nervous. And I was walking, and there's just tents. I don't know if you've ever been to, a lot of people probably haven't been to a music festival, but there's just, thousands of tents, people camping, doing drugs, all this crazy activities. And before I approached the tent, I was really nervous. I was just walking down the road. And all of a sudden, some guy came up, and I don't know how he knew who I was. Maybe he met the devotees before, because all my books were in the backpack, and maybe one tucked underneath my arm. And he came up, and he offered pranams. And he said, I'm so happy that you guys are here. You guys come here every year. Or he said, I see you guys every year at different music festivals. I'm really happy what you guys are doing. And just some random guy said, oh, yeah, thank you. And literally, 5 seconds after that guy walked away, another guy came up, offered pranams. And this time he said, Hare Krishna or Hare Bol. And I said Hare Krishna back, offered pranams, and then he started quoting Srila Prabhupada's books. He was just reading the Krishna book, and he was describing how Prabhupada in his purport was describing the different transformations of the body. That we're born, we grow for some time, produce byproducts, dwindle, and vanish. And he thought that was really interesting. And he was like, yeah, I was just reading Krishna book, and I just finished the Bhagavad Gita last week. He quoted a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. And he asked me if I wanted to see his ashram. So I said, sure. So he brought me back to some yellow van. He had a van. And he opened up the door. There were pictures of Prabhupada, all of Prabhupada's books. He had japa beads, cartels. He is a devotee, for sure. And he said he became a devotee because at that very festival, a devotee distributed Easy Journey to Other Planets to him. And he read it, and he said, I've been going to these music festivals for 10 years, but I'm really getting tired of it. I just want to, practice devotional service. And I still have his number. He lives in Canada. Really nice guy. And so after that, I think Krishna directly sent him to encourage me.
You were ready
to
go.
And after that, I was really enthusiastic.
Couldn't hold you back.
Yeah.
Jai.
Maybe a senior devotee can give...
Can we give one opportunity for a senior devotee, perhaps, to tell a story? Or? Okay. All fingers are going to Gauranga Prem Prabhu.
I was distributing book along with Sri Madhava Mahotsav Prabhu at Venice Beach a couple of weeks ago. That day, it was really tough. For the first 50 minutes, nobody will stop and take the book and give donation. So I was thinking today is really tough day. But suddenly on the 16th minute, I stopped my man. And as soon as I showed him the Bhagavad Gita, immediately he held it in ecstasy, saying, I like this book, I want it. Yeah, how much? And I told him, people usually make $5 or $10 donation. He pulled out his, wallet, handed me his debit card, telling me $10. And after a second, he told me, actually, I need one more copies. You please take $20 donation. And then, wow, I was really amazed how Krishna's arrangement. And then I walked away, and after 2 minutes, the same man, he shouted at me, hey, monk, please stop him. Stop him. He's my friend. He might take the book from you. And then I stopped his friend, and after introducing the Gita to his friend, and to my surprise, his friend pulled off his wallet, and he handed me $20 donation. Yeah, I was really amazed how the Lord reciprocate with my sincere endeavor,
So there you go. I'm sure we all have stories, and perhaps take a moment today when we're crossing paths with each other, we can share a story or two with each other. So I want to thank everyone for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class today, and also on the internet, thank you for spending your time here with us today. And may you all have a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.